Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Halloween, everyone, across the state of Mississippi or wherever you might be listening to the Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sander, along with producer-engineer Michael Mergens. On the show today, former Southern Miss pitching great, now with the Cleveland Guardians, Nick Sandlin will be joining us a little bit later on. The radio and TV voice of the Pearl River Wildcats, Kerry Metzler, will be joining us with a preview of the big cat fight tonight between Pearl River and Jones, and also take a look at the standings in the MACCC, who's in the playoffs and who may not be, depending on those results. Plus, big changes for the Sun Belt Conference men's and women's basketball tournament. We'll have that in our news and notes segment. We'll be talking esports, Southern Miss, here in just a moment. A reminder that the first segment of our program each day is brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. With the holidays coming up, make sure you keep Dickie's on your list, on your good list, of course, of places that can take care of your catering event, whether it's small or large, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever the event, Dickie's will take care of you and big supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. Joining us now on the phone is David Dickard, a native of Houston, Texas. He's the director of the Southern Miss Esports program. And some of you old timers like me, and we kind of joke about this all the time, esports, what are you talking about? Well, the fact of the matter is that esports, gaming as it were, and I hope that's not an offensive term, David, but esports is the fastest growing segment of the athletic arena in the country. It doesn't matter what college or school you're at. I was in Indianapolis in May, and they talked about how iRacing, Indy racing, electronic racing, and so on is one of the big things on the horizon, and Southern Miss even has one of those teams. As we welcome you, David, one of our team's apex legends at Southern Miss, right now ranked number one in the country, and the Southern Miss esports program won a national title, you know, a couple years ago with their Rainbow Six, I think it was, squad. So this is really on the grow. Talk to us first of all about the number of students and the number of teams that Southern Miss has.
Of course. Thanks for the introduction. Thank you for having me. So our program right now, as it sits, we have 26 different teams, and that's, you know, across 26 different video games. And then we also, you know, that comprises about 119 students on campus who are student athletes for esports, competing for the university.
Now, David, where you guys are not with under the roof, if you will, of the athletic department, you're in student affairs, yes?
Correct, yes. Okay. We are under student affairs, so we can serve pretty much the broader campus community.
But even though that's the case, if I understand, and certainly correct me if I'm wrong, there are esport athletes that can be, and some are scholarshiped, so?
Yes, actually. We have four teams right now who are scholarshiped, and they work with corporate sponsors, kind of like NIL. So right now it's, Coca-Cola's working with our Rocket League team, Lenovo's working with our Madden team, Intel is working with Apex Legends. They're very happy right now. And then the U.S. Army is working with our Call of Duty team.
So the Apex Legends, tell us about that particular team and why they have been so successful. Number one in some different areas around the country, right, in different rating services?
Yeah. So they're in two separate leagues right now. One of them is a publisher league, which is usually open to any college student and university, so long as they are a student. You know, that's the one they're number two in. Number one right now is Grand Canyon University, which we're coming up on right now. And then there's the ECAC, so Eastern Collegiate Athletic Conference. They're number one in right now. And so, you know, they're doing really well. Two of the players, they're, you know, transfers from Brazil, really nice guys. They're actually twins. And then their teammate is, you know, coming at us from the north. And, you know, they're all three professional Apex players, you know, here to get a degree, on a path to graduation, and doing the best they can to live the Southern Miss way.
The explosion of popularity of esports, and again, I'm one of the old guys that I referred to earlier. The explosion of popularity in esports nationwide, I think, is nothing short of phenomenal. And to talk about the money that a lot of these corporations are even putting into it. And David Dickert, your facility at Southern Miss is really, if it's not the best, the finest esports facility in the state, I don't know where else it would be. Tell us about the digs, so to speak, that the esports teams get to operate out of on campus at Southern Miss.
Yeah, of course, and I really appreciate it. We put a lot of work into that space, and, you know, the university really supported us in getting the equipment we needed. So right now, students can you know, play on some of the best machines on the market today, specifically from Lenovo. Lenovo Legion is their gaming brand, and, you know, they're using 4080 Supers, which clocks out at the second highest rated graphics card on the market. You know, if you wanted to go higher than that, it would be very, very difficult to do. But yeah, they get to play on, you know, state-of-the-art computers. We have an entire main stage for students, a production studio inside the arena. You know, we're taking care of, you know, all of our needs on social media and making sure that students are really able to get the most out of being a part of the program. We want them to be able to grow as people, as players, and as students.
And really, where more traditional sports have downtime, you know, an on season and off season, if you will, there's no such thing for esports. It's kind of 24/7, all around the clock, and the schedule of the different games that your teams participate in are on the Student Life website at Southern Miss. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, off season in esports isn't really a thing. You know, every semester is a season for us, and so we'll have the fall season and the spring season, and in some cases the summer season. You know, for example, summer is when a lot of students don't want to compete, which is totally fine. They can go on vacation, enjoy their summers, enjoy their lives. But then we do have some players who want to compete during the summer. And our Rocket League team, which is sponsored by Coca-Cola, they actually got their quarter finalists in the Uni Rocketeer World Championship for Collegiate Rocket League. And so, you know, they made it all the way there. They lost to Minnow, so they lost to a Middle Eastern country. But, you know, we were representing the U.S. in that collegiate competition, and making it to quarterfinals was fantastic. And that's really the caliber of competitions that these players are, you know, competing in. And it's difficult. It's a fine line, because you want to take care of their physical and mental health, and so you don't want them to game all the time. But at the same time, you know, they want to compete and represent the university, represent the country. And so that's always a fun balance.
And it's always, and it makes sense that in an esports type of event, you could live stream watching it. So you wouldn't have to be on campus at Southern Miss to see some of the best players in the world. All of your events are streamed to where people could watch you guys play from their own home. Right, David?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we even hire students on campus who are studying, like, multimedia production to come and help run our production so that they can apply what they're learning in the classroom. And we even have shoutcasters, like you see on ESPN, but specifically for esports, who are experts in these games in their own right. And so whenever you're watching one of our broadcasts, you know, you're watching our players compete, you're getting the information from experts in the game itself, and, you know, by watching, you're supporting students who are trying to get into this field when they graduate the university.
So where do they log on to be able to, I know there's one kind of website that you can go to and pull down all the games all across the world that you can watch.
Yeah, it's called twitch.tv, twitch.tv, and it's basically the ESPN of gaming. But we also, you know, promote pretty much all these matches on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're all over the social medias, and even on our website, you can find a link to watch some of our games, including a schedule of games that are coming up.
And David, some of these young people literally make millions of dollars playing these games. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Right? I mean, this is true.
Yeah. No, there are some students and some, you know, just young people out there that are, you know, really benefiting from this burst of popularity. You know, ever since about 8 years ago, someone walked away with a couple million. It's been just blowing up from then. And, you know, people really can make a good amount of money from this.
It is truly phenomenal. And Southern Miss has some of the best esports teams in the country. So hang your hat on that, Golden Eagle fans. And David Dickert is the director of said esports program. David, thanks for the update. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. David Dickert, everybody, from esports. When we come back, you've heard of a guy named Nick Sandlin. He used to throw the baseball a good bit for Southern Miss. He'll join us next as our Halloween edition of the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This Thursday edition, second segment brought to you by Campus Bookmart. It's in the bright gold building right across from the main entrance to the Southern Miss campus, and it is your one-stop Southern Miss shop, whether it's T-shirts, whether it's things for Christmas, anything for that graduate that's going to walk here in December. They've got it all for you. And online at campusbookmart.net, they are open 24/7. Well, it is indeed a pleasure to have with us on our program, and we thank him for making time available. The great Nick Sandlin, former Southern Miss Golden Eagle, now a member of the Cleveland Guardians, who had a great playoff run this year. And we welcome you, Nick. And again, thanks for taking the time. I know it was good to get back with the guys last week at the Scott Berry golf tournament. I imagine the stories were far and wide, and I hope they were wearing shorts, because I'm sure some of those stories got pretty deep.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun first week back here, back home in Mississippi. Good to see a lot of people, familiar faces in Hattiesburg, and catch up and enjoy a fun day with everyone.
Kind of a frustrating season for you, though, right, buddy? I mean, put it into words for us.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a great season for Cleveland, and happy to be a part of it this year. You know, another full healthy season in the big leagues, and you know, every season's different, as its ups and downs, but yeah, overall good success.
Yeah, now Stephen Vogt, the manager now of the Indians, you know, statistically catchers make the best managers when you look at win loss records. Why do you suppose that is, Nick? When, with all due respect, pitchers don't tend to make very good managers. What is it about catchers?
Well, I think they deal with the game as a whole probably better than any other position. I mean, they're involved in every pitch, whether they're calling it or controlling the running game, and then, you know, the other half of the inning, then, you know, they're trying to contribute offensively. So they have to have a wide understanding of the whole game, and I think they, you know, kind of manage the game when they're calling pitches, and they kind of just – probably some of the reasons why they make for good managers.
So when you look at your particular season, what are some things that you were particularly proud of that you accomplished on the field? What are some things that you want to work on heading into next season? I wouldn't imagine it could be much.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, another full healthy, mostly healthy season in the big leagues is always good. And was able to pitch in, you know, a lot of games and, you know, have a good bulk, good workload. And for the most part, you know, try to be a dependable as you can be for the team. But I mean, obviously there's definitely room to grow. There's always stuff to work on. That's what the off season's for. So for me, just taking a little time to decompress and then, you know, get right back at it.
Yeah, take us through. Everybody, I think, has a dream of playing in the big leagues, but it is also a business. All right, so take us through the off season. What are some things you will deal with in the off season? Because you have to deal with agents, you have to deal with press, you have to deal, and that can, you know, how do you handle all that? Which are things you don't have to handle when you're a college player at Southern Miss.
Yeah, I mean, you have 30 teams competing to, you know, try to be the best they can be and put the best players out there. And, you know, different teams are at different places trying to do different things. So, you know, you want to be where you're in a spot where you can fit in and align with that team's goals. But, you know, for me, my whole career has been in Cleveland. And, you know, the offseason is a time where sometimes there is movement and you might end up somewhere else or whatever. But that's, you know, that's where the agent sits in and hopefully can take care of a lot of that stuff for you. So for me, it's kind of, off season's more of a personal thing to work on yourself, try to get as better so you're in the good spot as possible. And then when that season starts, that's when you're trying to be there for the team and be, you know, the most, you know, important or consistent that you could be.
Yeah, 162 games, man, that can be a grind. But I want to, and not very many other people would probably ask you this question, but we're Southern Miss guys. What? You're talking about big money now, Nick, compared to a lot of people in South Mississippi. What? How do you – have you even been able to wrap your mind around that kind of money, and how do you deal with it?
Well, yeah, money is definitely a, you know, a big aspect when it comes to professional sports.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people involved in decisions. There's a lot of you know, kind of, it's kind of the business, like you said, that's the business aspect of it. So, you know, the people are, you know, trying to put the best product out there for their fans and for their teams and their business. And then personally, you just hope that you're a part of it and can maybe be on the receiving end of that for as long as possible.
Yeah. And then when you get that check and you see how much Uncle Sam's taking, you you complain with the rest of us. It's a lot.
We're on the same boat there.
So let's talk a little bit about your days at Southern Miss. When somebody mentions your days about Southern Miss, are there any stories that kind of stick out? Some of your favorite memories of wearing the black and gold?
I was lucky to be a part of three, you know, very good teams, which a lot of players at Southern Miss have been able to do. But, you know, for me, just I think the team coming in might have not won conference for a handful of years or something like that. But for us to continue to, like, win Conference USA, you know, get back to regional play, stuff like that was pretty cool. And, you know, the conference tournaments were always fun. There was one at Hattiesburg where my brother made the final play and we got the guy out at home when I was pitching. So that was just like a super cool memory for me to be able to, you know, win the conference tournament doing that. And then, yeah, all the postseason play is definitely what sticks out.
From the day that you set foot on campus to the day that you left campus as a senior, where did you grow the most? Was it personally? Was it as a baseball player? And why do you say what you are going to answer?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, you know, personally, I came in just wanting to find a place to play college baseball, and I got lucky and picked a very good school. And it was great for me to be at Southern Miss. And then, you know, by my junior year, I was starting to realize that I had, you know, continued to progress on the field and realized that it was something that I was going to have a chance to probably do professionally. So that's when I started to kind of lock in on baseball and, you know, try to, you know, be in a good spot to continue my career past college.
Yeah, specifically about your skill set, what were the pros telling you back when you were a junior that led you to believe that, yeah, maybe this is something I'm going to be able to do?
I think I came into my junior year, you know, expecting to probably continue being a reliever and hopefully, you know, continue in the role I had been in. But then we made the decision to transition to a starter for that year, and I think that helped just probably get me a lot more attention and a lot more eyes on me, just being on the mound a lot more and pitching more innings, stuff like that. So as that season kind of went on, then it was kind of evident that I was going to have the chance to continue to play.
Were there when you first started to the time you left, tell us about your pitching quiver, the different pitches that you had, and which pitches developed better than others that maybe also helped you get over the hump.
Yeah, I pretty much came in just throwing sinker sliders, and in a relief role that was probably sufficient, and then I did that for 2 years, and then I think as I became more comfortable and into my junior year, I continued to mix in some four seams, mix in some change ups, and I was even like kind of changing arm slots throughout that year, just to give hitters a lot of different looks starting, and just became more comfortable and could kind of step out of the comfort zone a little bit, throw more pitches, and you're always continuing to find what's going to work for you, and you want to continue to develop each pitch as much as possible.
Some athletes, when they leave Southern Miss, they leave Southern Miss in the rearview mirror, and they never come back. And, to each his own. But where do you see your relationship with Southern Miss going, regardless of, where your career goes? And, of course, it's been just terrific so far. But where do you see Southern Miss in the future in your relationship with the school?
Well, personally, I don't live too far from there. Right. Currently, I live on the coast. So, I'm up in Hattiesburg from time to time, and it's always good to get up there and, be with those people, whether it's for certain events or, trying to maybe go see a baseball game or practice with the guys every once in a while, right before the season as we're, we're kind of ramping up, stuff like that. And then, Hattiesburg is an awesome place. And got married there this past off season. So, wife's from there, so there's definitely a lot of connections there.
So, and you don't anticipate that changing any?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you'll always be getting back to Hattiesburg a good bit. And as we begin to wind down here, Nick, I'm going to pick on you a little bit because I'm a Tigers fan. So, I'm a Nick Sandlin fan, but I'm a Tiger fan as a team. So, is it pretty much assumed that the Tigers are going to win it all next year, or?
Maybe for you.
Yeah. No, nobody else is thinking that, right?
When it all's a bold statement, no doubt.
Well, the only person that's in a worse situation is our producer engineer Michael Mergens, who is a White Sox fan.
Oh.
A little work to do. Hey, Nick, we're always big fans of your work. We follow you every step that you make, and you didn't have to do this, but we appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Eagle Hour, man. We hope you have a great off season, and we'll be following you in spring training. And good luck to I was going to say the Tribe, but we have to say the Guardians now. So thanks again, buddy.
There you go. All right, no problem. Appreciate it.
All right, Nick Sandlin, former great reliever with Southern Miss, now with the Cleveland Guardians. Plenty more of this Eagle Hour continues, but first, these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right over the 4th Street Bridge, over Highway 49, within a shadow of the Rock. They'll have NFL games on tonight, also college football games. College football games tomorrow. Like I said, every day up until Thanksgiving now, there will be one college or pro game that you can watch every night. 4th Street Bar and Grill, home of the 1095 Blue Plate Special, lunch every day, and that includes your soft drink. Thanks to everybody at 4th Street Bar and Grill, and we will see you there. Of course, Thursday night really begins the weekend of college football. On the junior college front, the MACCC, the Mississippi Association of Community Colleges Conference, with a full slate of games tonight. The one of most interest in the Laurel Hattiesburg area is the annual catfight that sees Jones travel to Pearl River, here to share his insight and acumen on the game is the radio and TV voice of the Pearl River Wildcats, Kerry Metzler. Been doing that for about 8 years now. Kerry, I dare say about 2 or 3 weeks ago, if fans looked ahead to this game, you know, they're at that time were playoff possibilities for both of these teams, but both of them almost inexplicably got beaten by Hines, who couldn't get out of its own way in the first half of the season. But Hines knocked off both of these teams. Consequently, neither one of them will be playoff bound, but it's still Jones at Pearl River. Tell me about it.
Well, it is, Kelly. The old cat fight. This will be the 94th time they met, and Jones leads it 49-42. They've been two ties, and Jones has won the last seven. You know, it's interesting you say that. You're exactly right, Kelly. You know, week four, week five, you're looking at this thing, you say, man, Pearl River and Jones, for sure one of them is going to be playing for a playoff spot that night, or maybe both of them. And, of course, Hines has been the spoiler on that. But, you know, I think it speaks to the parity in this league. You look at a Jones ball club here who's very talented. Pearl River team is very talented. You and I have watched it through the years, your role in the doing play-by-play for many years, and also the PA for Pearl River. You've seen it as I have. In any given night, just about anybody can beat anybody, and that's been the case this year. Jones has been up and down. Pearl River's been up and down. But regardless of that, it's going to be an interesting ballgame tonight. Pearl River, they're ranked number six in the nation in rushing the football. And what's interesting about that is they brought in David Boykin, who is known for throwing the football. And they've done that to a certain extent. They may not have all the tools they want yet, according to Coach Boykin, on that yet. But when Coach Smith decided to bring him in, he wanted to improve the offense. And the rushing attack has been phenomenal for the Wildcats.
But, you know, Kerry, it's interestingly, the rushing attack by the Wildcats has been led by the quarterback, Ian Gonzalez. Man, that guy is something.
He is. You know, he's only played four games. The plan was to redshirt him throughout the season. And then somewhere around game five, their starter, Kay Barnett, out of Oak Grove, got injured. And, well, they had to insert him. And he's done a great job. I mean, in four games, he's rushed for over 440 yards. He's come in and thrown the football, completed 35 of 55. But, Kelly, you've seen, like I am, this young man played his high school ball at Stanislaus. He's from Mexico City. He's electric.
He can really, really run the football. He's an amazing runner. When you look at probably the biggest surprise, and this is based on preseason expectations, I think East Central, who's going to the playoffs and very possibly is the number one seed in the South, East Central would have to be the most pleasant surprise. And Kerry, quite candidly, even though Pearl River was beaten by Hines, I would have to say that Hines was the biggest disappointment. I know arguments could be made either way for both of those, but what are your thoughts?
Well, if you look at that roster of Hines, man, they're loaded with talent. And I would say, you know, I hate to say it this way, but I will anyway. They may have underachieved a little bit with what they had. But again, it goes back to other teams in this league, like East Central. I mean, Chip, you have the job that Jonathan Webster's done there. You know, this guy played at South Panola. He's been an assistant at Northeast in the league, at Northwest, and his second year at East Central. And he's got them in the playoffs and got them ranked. You know, I mean, the job he's done there is amazing. But, yeah, when you look at the roster on paper, I think Hines would be the first team that comes to mind that may have underachieved. And then you turn around and look at – I'm going to jump to the north side, East Mississippi, a perennial national contender. You know, they can play spoiler tonight in the game against Holmes. But when you look at the talent level, and you and I saw that talent level 2 weeks ago, offensively, that's as good a football team as anybody in the league.
Well, a couple of games that you just – well, you mentioned East Mississippi at Holmes tonight. Another game that you need to keep an eye on tomorrow night will put Itawamba at Northwest. And let's put these into context. In the North, Northwest is 5-0. Holmes and Itawamba both sit there at 4-1. So while the South has its playoff teams – East Central and Gulf Coast, although we don't know those particular seeds yet. The North still doesn't know exactly who's in because there are still three teams battling for two spots. Boy, two big games, Kerry. East Mississippi at Holmes tonight, Itawamba at Northwest tomorrow.
You know, it's an interesting matchup here. You got Marcus Wood, the head coach at Holmes, Coach Wood in his third year there. He's done a great job at Holmes getting them back to a perennial contender here. But, you know, he was under Buddy Stevens for years. So a lot of stuff they do is similar to what Buddy does in East Mississippi. That'll be an interesting ball game tonight. You know, Holmes last week, they're sitting there, you know, unbeaten, everything going their way. And then the last play of the game, Northwest throws the Hail Mary pass, scores a touchdown, and beats them. Now they've got to win to get in. They can get some help if Northwest beats Itawamba, but Holmes, you know, they're sitting here, Kevin, I think, seventh or eighth in the nation, and depending on how these ball games come out tonight and tomorrow, they could be sitting at home. That's just crazy.
Well, let's take a look at the other games on the schedule. Northeast will travel to Colin. We mentioned East Central already in the playoffs. They are traveling to Southwest. And, Kerry, if the math is right and East Central beats Southwest, East Central will be the number one seed in the South, yes?
That's correct, because they beat Gulf Coast a few weeks back, and that win over Gulf Coast back on October the 10th, they have put themselves in a head-to-head. They've got that. Of course, the East Central's only loss in the South came to Pearl River earlier in the year in week four, and now East Central, if they win this game, having the head-to-head against Gulf Coast, they're going to be the number one seed out of the South. You know, again, I go back to this, man. You tip your hat to the job that they've done at East Central. I mean, they played extremely good football this year. Even when Pearl River beat them that night, they played well that night. Pearl River just had the emergence that night of being Gonzalez, and he kind of took that game over in the second half.
And really, East Central has a lot of things in common with Pearl River in the sense that the baseball teams at both of those campuses in Poplarville and Decatur primarily have floated the sports boat, although Chris Oney and Scotty Fletcher have had some very good basketball teams. But football-wise, both East Central and Pearl River have struggled a little bit, but certainly appear to be on the road back. A couple of other games tonight, Cahoma at Delta and Hines. The Giant Killers will head to Gulf Coast tonight to take on the Gulf Coast Bulldogs. The only way that Gulf Coast can be the number one seed is for Gulf Coast to beat Hines and for Southwest to beat East Central. But then other than that, in the North, as we mentioned, Northwest at 5-0, Holmes at 4-1, and Itawamba at 4-1, and some combination of those three teams are going to be playing each other either tonight or tomorrow. So it certainly will be interesting. Kerry, more on the Pearl River front, you mentioned David Boykin. He really put together this offense this year without any of, quote-unquote, his players. So you would think in the offseason that he could, you know, when they're on the recruiting trail, they'd get players that specifically fit the system that he likes the most. And I would think, all things being equal, and look, I'm trying to see this with my eyes rather than my heart, and I've said that before, but I think there's all reasons to think that Pearl River might be really good next year.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Kelly. You and I, we've watched Boykin and what he's done in here. Of course, the run game, sixth in the nation, and phenomenal. And the passing game's not bad, but you nailed it. They don't have the tools they want yet. Now, they've got some receivers who are having to learn this system, and a couple of those will be back. But I actually sat down and had lunch with him by chance yesterday in Poplarville, and we talked about next year recruiting, and he's got his eyes, and he said, there's a specific type guy we want to play in this offense. He said, I've had them before, and I know what they are. And he said, I'm on the bead with them. I think we're going to make some progress there. And I think the other thing, Kelly, is just they got to get a little bit bigger up front in running this offense. There have been times this year, even, you know, when they want to throw the football, that the quarterbacks haven't had time, and they've made good adjustments. Both Barnett and Gonzalez have used their feet to make good adjustments to get out of there. But I think you're right. You know, don't forget, this guy got on the staff last year right after the season in November. Recruiting was done way before that. He was able to still bring in some good ball players. But again, and you nailed it, look ahead to where they're going to be. Coach Smith made a wise choice in bringing him in.
And, Kerry, as we wind down real quick, you know, anybody that's in the sports business always patterns themselves or critiques other play-by-play guys' works. Like in the NFL or whatever, anybody on the national scene that you think calls a really, really good game, and why do you think they do?
I'm a Monday Night Westwood fan, you know, and I guess just, you know, Harlan over the years has been so steady at the NFL level.
He's
probably my favorite. I'll be honest with you, I hardly ever watch Monday Night Football. I normally listen to it, and the main reason just to listen to him, Harlan's probably the best, I'd say, out there in the NFL level.
I think Kevin Harlan does indeed call a very good game. I like Ian Eagle, too. I think he's solid. You know, and he's more of a TV guy, but Kevin Harlan can make a scrambling eggs sound exciting, you know. Even
and you can even taste it and smell it when he does it, Kelly.
That, you can always tell Kevin Harlan because he's. Hey, Carrie, we look forward to the call tonight. You've got it. Jones at Pearl River, kickoff at 7 o'clock down at Dobie Holden. Thanks for sharing your insight with us.
Thank you, Kelly. I always appreciate the chance to talk to you, my friend.
All right, Carrie Metzler, the voice of the Pearl River Wildcats. Hey, there have been some changes in the Sun Belt postseason basketball tournament for both men and women. The conference made that release today. We'll outline those changes and go over other Southern Miss news and notes when the Eagle Hour returns in a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Tomorrow on the program, a roundtable discussion with all kinds of Southern Miss fans about what qualities they would like to see in the hiring of a next head football coach. I think you'll find it enlightening. Should be fun. Tomorrow on the Eagle Hour, again, our roundtable discussion from fans like you about what you'd like to see in the next head football coach. This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by DBAT Training. We thank them for their continued support to get your youngsters in shape for the softball or baseball season upcoming in their state-of-the-art facility. It is also immaculate, very clean. The pitching machines there can set curveballs, fastballs, whatever you want to try to work hitting. And don't forget speed and agility training in the offseason. They'll know it all at DBAT Training. Thanks to them for their support. And a shout-out to Mobay Beignet Company. Great way to start your day with fresh beignets, hot or cold coffee, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. And if you can't listen to us live, we know that you can download the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Southern Miss news and notes. The women's soccer team was playing today for an opportunity to get into the postseason Sun Belt soccer tournament. What they had to do was beat Louisiana Monroe at Monroe and then get some help from Georgia Southern. But alas and alack, that did not happen. Southern Miss was beaten by Louisiana Monroe 3-0. So the women's soccer program at Southern Miss done for the year after that 3-0 loss at ULM. College football tonight, not in the Sun Belt, but Tulane right down the road takes to the road at Charlotte tonight. Tulane giving up a couple of touchdowns to Charlotte, one of the college football games on the schedule tonight. Going into the break, we talked about some rule changes that the Sun Belt Conference revealed today regarding the postseason men and women's tournament, conference tournament in Pensacola. All right, so here are the rule changes that will take place right away. So the next Sun Belt Conference tournament slated for March 4th through 10th of 2025, these new rules will take place. The number one and two seeds, which used to get a bye into the quarterfinals, will now be bumped all the way up to the semifinals. So they won't even play until the tournament, which lasts a week. They won't even play until the semifinals, the one and two seeds. That's a change. The three and four seeds will still get a bye to the quarterfinals. And one of the reasons they made that decision was to, which I think is a good decision, they want to bring more value to the way teams play during the regular season to earn those spots. Because we all pretty much know, and we talked about with Noah Frary yesterday, that the Sun Belt will get one team in the NCAA tournament. So by bumping the one and two seeds all the way up to the semifinals and knowing they're only going to get one spot, it makes sense that you do whatever you can to minimize the chance that there would be an upset of your number one or number two team. So that's the way those work. Again, good news for the one and two seeds. They have moved scheduling to make sure that all the women's games are going to be played. They're going to be played the same time the men's game is going to be played. All right. So, but the same days, rather. But the women's games will be played at 11:30 and 2, and the men's games will be played at 5 and 7:30. Again, the tournament only used to be 3 or 4 days. Well, now it's a full week. Okay, so the women's games will be at 11:30 and 2. Men's games will be at 5 and 7:30. The league also announced this morning that they have extended the contract with the city of Pensacola, Florida. Pardon me. Now, Pensacola will host the Sun Belt postseason basketball tournament through the year 2030. And that, when that contract expires, then that will make Pensacola the longest-running host of any Sun Belt tournament. Prior to this, it was the city of New Orleans, which, of course, is where the corporate offices for the Sun Belt is. So, again, a contract extension for the city of Pensacola. And last time we talked to Commissioner Keith Gill, he said he thought that this was probably going to be the case, that the T's had not been crossed, the I's had not been dotted, but they have now. So Pensacola will host the Sun Belt basketball tournament through 2030. And just for trivia's sake, and to jog your memory a little bit, or to tax your memory, I shouldn't have probably said that. That would give politicians an idea. But the only thing they haven't taxed is our memories. On the men's side, JMU was the men's champion and went on to play in the NCAA tournament. And on the women's side, Marshall won it. Okay, so basketball season begins in earnest on Monday night. The Golden Eagles will be hosting. They will be hosting Bowling Green out of Ohio, the Falcons, while the women, as part of the MAC Challenge, will be up in Bowling Green, Ohio. So that's the way the basketball schedule looks. All the exhibition games are done now. All the rest of the games now are going to count in earnest as we get into the month of November. We hope you have a very safe Halloween. Remember the trick-or-treaters, the little ghouls and goblins will be out this afternoon from probably about 4:30 to 7:30.
Kids will be too.
Yes, they will. you can't miss them. They're not but about 2 or 3 feet tall. But that being said, make sure you drive extra slowly tonight. We wouldn't want anything bad to happen. Also on the program tomorrow, Patrick McGee with the New Orleans Saints update. So we got a lot going. Bob Getty will rejoin us on Monday. From the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander for producer engineer Michael Mergens. Thanks for joining us, and as always, Southern Miss
to the top.
Like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.